The following recording was made of an issue forum held on Wednesday, October 12, 2022, at the Bozeman Public Safety Center. The forum was sponsored by the Bozeman League of Women Voters, American Association of University Women, Bozeman Professional Women, the Belgrade Community Library, and the Bozeman Public Library, and was moderated by Sally Mason. This is the first part of the forum, an information session on the ballot initiative for Gallatin County residents to establish a mill levy to fund the Gallatin Rest Home. KGVM does not endorse any candidate or take a particular position on any ballot issue. We strive to disseminate available information to help voters make informed decisions.
Hello, everybody. I'm Sally Mason. This event is being sponsored by AAUW, DPW, me, and the library. And tonight we're having an informational session from 6:30 to 7. And Darcel Vaughn is going to speak to us. And then there'll be a 10-minute recess. And then we'll start the part about LR 131. Okay? So it's all yours.
Well, welcome, everybody, to the Bozeman Safety Center. My name is Beth Boysen. I'm a member of the staff over at the Bozeman Public Library, and where the city was happy to loan us this room. We're going to have a forum on the Gallatin Rest Home. Sally Mason is our moderator. Hillary Darcel Vaughn, she's going to speak about the issue. We'll have some questions after some prepared questions. Any questions from anyone here?
Well, welcome, everybody. So my name is Darcel Vaughn. I'm currently the administrator at Gallatin Rest Home, and I've been there since 2019. Prior to that, I was the administrator at both facilities in Madison County, which also have a mill levy, for Ennis, Madison Valley Manor, and also Tobacco Root. Been an administrator for 10 years now. Prior to that, I've worked in long-term care for over 25 years in various capacities, doing admissions, things like that. Worked for a veterans home in Idaho before I moved to the beautiful state of Montana. So, and talk to you about our mill levy information. So, the rest home, for those of you that aren't familiar with it, is a skilled nursing facility, and we are currently the only skilled facility in Gallatin County with a population of about 120,000 people. Bridger Rehab closed in September. We were able to take about 11 of their residents. The rest of them went across the state. Montana, since the beginning of this year, has already lost 10% of its skilled nursing facilities. That's pretty scary. We only had 69 to begin with, and so that's a lot of beds. That's a lot of people that no longer are close to family and communities that they may have grown up in or have lived in for years and years. So we're voting on up to 9 mills. That's going to raise approximately $4 million for the rest home. This is going to be used for everything imaginable, everything from staff to food to capital outlay, which we currently have none, building maintenance and repairs, supplies. I'm sure all of you are aware that the costs of everything are rising. COVID really exacerbated that for the skilled nursing facilities, assisted livings as well, but put healthcare on any item at all, say that it's a medical supply, and the cost is going to increase dramatically. And that's some of what we've seen. The big thing that we want to get across on this, with this 9 mills, if it passes, is that if we can get with our local legislators and we can find out what they are for and against, and are they willing to increase the rates of Medicaid reimbursement? The county will not levy that full 9 mills. If we were getting reimbursed what we should from Medicaid for the cost of care for residents, we wouldn't be asking for this mill levy at all, because we know that taxpayers are tired of being taxed, and some of people are actually getting taxed out of their homes, and that's not what we want to see by any means. But this is also the home for other residents that can't be taken care of at home, either through not having the family or family just not being able to provide 24-hour care. I can tell you from personal experience, providing 24-hour care is very, very draining, very exhausting, and that's why it's so important to have facilities like the Gallatin Rest Home, that we can do it as a team, and families can actually just be families.
They can actually come and visit, and they're no longer the caregivers, and it makes a huge difference. So if we can get the state to fix that Medicaid gap, like I said, county commissioners would not be levying that full 9 mils. So for years, we've been getting poor Medicaid rates. I personally just went back to 2017 for the rest home to see where we were at. We've actually been in the red since 2012. Medicaid rates in 2017, when I went back, have never met the cost involved in taking care of these residents. We are a minimum of $100 a day underpaid. I would say, depending on the census and where we're at, we're probably $200 and sometimes $300 a day underpaid for what it costs. You can't even get a hotel room in Bozeman for $200 a day. So that's been a huge issue. And that's something that's being worked on, but we, again, need to get in touch with our legislators and be more politically active and ask them, what are they doing about Medicaid rates and taking care of our seniors? And it's not just our seniors. It's skilled nursing. It's long-term. It's assisted living. For those few that do take Medicaid, it's home health. They're all underpaid. So why is this relevant to everyone who would go to the voting polls and vote on this? Because this could be your mom and dad, it could be your grandparents, your aunts, uncles, could be brothers and sisters. We've had people in our rehab that have been in their 30s. I mean, you have a car accident, you end up in the hospital, you need to be with your support system when you're trying to recover from that. Do you want to go 200 miles away to get that kind of care? So it is a big thing. And either, any of us at any time could have something happen to us where we're needing that rehab, or hopefully not, but, you know, could possibly need long-term care. So this allows our residents to stay close to home. And like I said, we've lost 10% of our facilities in the state of Montana already, and there are more on the way, unfortunately. That's one of the reasons why Bridger Rehab and Mountain View closed. Bridger, according to reports, was losing at least $1 million a year, and they're for profit. We're not for profit. And I'll tell you, we're losing a lot more than that because our consideration is making sure that we have the right number of staff to care for our residents and to do it well. So how much will it cost? So we're looking at, if the full 9 mils is levied, we're looking at $12.15 per year for every $100,000 of assessed value of property. So please remember, it's the assessed value and not what you can sell it on the market for. So I had, earlier today, was looking for, and I believe it's in the brochures that we have too, so a $500,000 home that's assessed at $500,000 would be paying about $5 a month for this mill levy. I've been told not to say that it, you know, a cup of coffee, but it really is. It really and truly is. I will tell you from my staff, the amount of Starbucks and different places, it really is a cup of coffee. And we're only talking about one of those a month. So, and like I said, again, county will not levy that if that's done. So all I can do is educate you and let you know what's happening. I will tell you that right now we have about 38 residents in our facility. The way our facility is set up, we have about 40 slots for Medicaid long-term care, and then we have the remaining beds for rehab. There is a possibility, and we could certainly do that as far as once we get more staff, bringing in more long-term care. But at this point, the big thing with us is just that balancing act of, do you have enough staff? And this is a day-to-day decision that we're making right now, is do you have enough staff to take care of the residents that you have and the acuity of those residents to make sure that they're getting the care that they need? So all we can do is ask you to be aware. Please go to the website. They are updating information regularly. There's going to be, and it's probably out there now, if you check the Facebook page for Gallatin Rest Home, there is a wonderful interview that was done with one of our residents, and Whitney Berms, our communications director, did it, and it's fantastic. And it's somebody who's lived in Bozeman in this area for a lot of years. So
where is that?
So if you go to the Gallatin Rest Home Facebook page, but you can also go for, and I believe there might be some links there, you can go to our Gallatin Rest Home, actually, I've got one more here. Yeah, there we go. You can go to www.gallatin.mt.gov, and there's a lot of information on there about the rest home. If you have any questions, there's my email address, and that's my office phone number that goes directly to my office. Happy to answer any questions that anyone has that you might think of at a later time. Yes?
How much does it cost for a person to stay there?
So right now, if you're privately paying, and this too, at this point, because we have so few of them, does not completely cover the cost, but a private individual would pay $235 a day for a semi-private room. Plus, they pay for their ancillaries. And it's so things like if they needed briefs, if they needed wound care, that type of thing would be extra on top of that. And that's where it's different for private pay versus Medicaid. Medicaid is an all-inclusive rate. So that $213 a day is room and board. It's over-the-counter meds. It's things like I said, the briefs, wound care. There's very little extra that you can bill Medicaid for. If they need a wheelchair, but it's not considered a specialized wheelchair just for them, you have to provide all that. Walkers, wheelchairs, airbeds. You want to make sure for those that can't get up enough on their own that their skin isn't breaking down. So airbeds. One airbed can cost you almost $1,000 if it's an alternating air mattress. Different things like that that you need to do to make sure that your residents are getting the care that they need. The CMS is what regulates the nursing homes, and the joke among long-term care is that we have as many regulations, if not more, than nuclear power. We have a lot of regulations and a lot of unfunded regulations. So
if a person is on Medicare, do they pay the amount that Medicare does not pay?
So Medicare and Medicaid are two different things, and that's okay. So Medicare is what people will use when they need rehab. So they've been in the hospital for their qualifying three-day stay, and they come into rehab. They have, depending on the type of Medicare they have, that's a whole other story, but they come into the rehab. Medicare pays 100% for the first 20 days. On day 21, if they have a copay, if they have a good insurance, then they can have up to 100 days and not have to pay anything. If they don't have such a good insurance, they could be paying up to $200 a day for that rehab. But rehab, mind you, will cost anywhere from $500 to $800 a day, depending on the kind of care that you're getting, because it's just temporary. Once you get into long-term care, that's where you can either privately pay until your assets are basically wiped out, and then apply for Medicaid, and you get to keep $50 a month. Let's say if it's a single person, you get to keep $50 a month. The rest of your money goes towards your cost of care, and Medicaid pays the difference, equaling that $213. So in reality, Medicaid's not paying $213 a day. You're paying for part of it. Medicaid's paying the rest. So if you're paying, if the bill, let's say, is $5,000, and you're paying $2,000 of it because you have $2,000 in income, Medicaid's only paying $3, and they're still not paying enough to catch up with the cost of what it is to do business.
Does Medicare not pay for it?
Medicare does not pay for long-term care. They only pay for short-term rehab.
Really?
Yes. And that's where a lot of people get confused, because they think their medical insurance is going to cover that. That's why they have something called long-term care insurance. And that's where the difference is. Medicare is only paying, like I said, you've had a stroke, you've had a heart attack, you've broken a leg, or had to have surgery. They're going to pay for that short-term stay to rehabilitate you and get you back home. And they're only going to pay it for a maximum of 100 days. And only a part of it. Like I said, only the first 20 days is 100%. And then that's why it's so important to have a good supplemental insurance. And that's why you have to be careful about the Medicare advantages that are out there, because sometimes it's somebody in an office deciding if you need that rehab. They might say you don't need it and we're not paying for it, so you need to go home. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, what happens to people in counties that don't have a similar place who
are on Medicaid and have, you know, no money and need long-term care. What does the state do then?
The state doesn't do anything. They really don't. I mean, if they're going to have to go, and sometimes it's going out of state. Sometimes it's going until you can find a facility that has a Medicaid bed for you. So during COVID especially, we had all kinds of, we had Wyoming and Idaho and other states that were trying to find placement for COVID patients, for people that were Medicaid that they didn't have the room for. So they can actually go out of state and have to apply for Medicaid in that state.
Just quick question about capacity. You said you have 120-some beds?
No, we are 69-bed facility.
69, so mm-hmm. You have about half of your...
We have about half right now.
And if you were able to fill those beds to full capacity, would you be able to make budget?
No.
Or, and where are the patients, being the only county rest home, or well, the only rest home, are you not getting referrals?
We could fill it up tomorrow if we had the staff. If I had the staff, that building would be filled up, no question. But right now, we have more contract staff than we do our own staff. And so all it takes, I was explaining earlier, that we have been open for rehab. We've admitted a few patients. It's one of those time things. Sometimes you'll get 2 and 3 referrals in a day. Sometimes you may not get any. And also one of the things that we look at, too, is where are the people coming from? So we are concentrating on Gallatin County. Because it is the Gallatin County taxpayers, even right now through the commission, that are paying to keep us open. If it hasn't been for the commissioners all these years, we would have closed down a long time ago. And so we're thankful for that. But we can have a... So we were open last week, let's say. I have one resident who's coming back from the hospital today and another one that we agreed to take because another one went home. So we're just switching. But I had a nurse that decided at the very last minute, I'm not coming to Montana. I'm not going to come. They're going to break the contract. We get that horrible email that we hate to see that says so-and-so has decided not to come. Do we need to find a replacement? Well, yeah, we need to find a replacement. And it might be no admits next week until we can find a replacement, and then we can start admitting again. So it really is a day-to-day type of operation on that. Our goal is definitely, I would love to be full. I would love to have the staff to be full. Yes.
Can the staff live here? I mean,
That's another issue. And that's another thing that our commissioners are working on. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the fact that the property behind the rest home is owned by the county. And the county is working on staff housing, not just for the rest home, but for county employees in general, because the county as a whole is hurting for employees. And they're working on temporary housing where maybe you can recruit people to come in, give them a place to live for a while, and give them the opportunity to get to know the area and find a place to live that they can afford. The affordable part is another question. But then my understanding is that there's also, how many of you have heard about the development that's going on at Belgrade, I think? Where they're doing a bunch of, like, a manufactured home community.
Yeah.
And the prices are going to be more reasonable than what we're seeing right now. I have had staff that have moved to, the latest one was moving to Maryland. I have one that's moving to Tennessee, Texas, Wyoming, moving to different places, Indiana. I had a mother and daughter that were working for me in housekeeping and laundry, moved to Indiana, never been there before in their lives, but they moved because it was a place they could afford where the mother could retire because she was already 73 and she wanted to retire and they couldn't do it here. So, and our story's not unique. I mean, you go across town, you see help wanted signs everywhere. So I was extremely thrilled today because one of our previous employees in my kitchen came back and wanted to work for us again. I'm like, hallelujah. You know, it's awesome that, you know, he wants to come back and work. Because we are outnumbered by contractors. There's no doubt about it. I used to have 35 CNAs. I now have 10. And the rest of them are all contractors. So, yes.
And you talked about the legislature could potentially do something.
They could.
But, the legislature's not going to meet until January.
Right.
And then it has, you know, the 49, what... And until May. Anyway, so what's going on educating legislators and what are potential options that something may happen?
Excellent. Excellent question.
In this legislative session.
So I'm on the board for the Montana Healthcare Association. Rose Hughes is the executive director. And I'm also on their scholarship committee, giving out scholarships to nursing students, trying to get more nursing students in Montana. But what the Montana Healthcare Association is doing is getting administrators together with their legislators. So a couple of weeks ago, I had a lunch in our activity room, and there were seven legislators that attended. And more than that were invited, granted, but seven came across both party lines, which is great. A lot of them already knew what the problem was and are frustrated by it. There were some that weren't aware that it's as bad as it is. And I felt cautiously optimistic. Some of the comments that were made were, we need to do a bipartisan bill, we need to do an emergency funding when we get to Helena to help, you know, home health, assisted living, and long-term care survive for a biennium, and then we need to revamp this Medicaid system. You know, like I said, cautiously optimistic, because you know how it goes with stuff. But the thoughts are there, and we are educating across the state. More administrators are doing that, and we are definitely educating our legislators and letting them know where we're at. Department of Public Health and Human Services has done several studies. The last one that they did is still in progress. The final numbers haven't come out, but it was on skilled nursing facilities. There's misinformation out there that people don't need skilled nursing facilities, that they can be taken care of at home. I don't know about you, but personally, I got married late in life. I have no kids. But even if I did, would I want them to take care of me late in life? No, they would have their own lives to live. What am I going to do if I need medical care? I'm going to the Gallatin Rest Home. You know, and hopefully there's a facility like that there when it comes to my turn. So part of that is the education of, there is a place for all facets of long-term care. Home health, when people can stay home and live out their years at home, hallelujah, that is a wonderful, wonderful thing to have happen. But home health is underfunded, and home health is only paid by Medicare for short term. If you want long term home health, you're paying for it privately. So that's a big expense. You know, great for those that can afford it. If you need to go into a assisted living, that's another great thing. But there again, it's private pay. The majority of assisted livings are private pay, and there's only a few of them in Bozeman that accept a few beds of Medicaid. And the Medicaid waiver program for assisted living is totally different than the Medicaid that we get in skilled nursing. So skilled nursing, Medicaid is considered I'm not going to be able to find the word on the tip of my tongue here. It's an entitlement. You are guaranteed, if you meet the medical and financial criteria, that you will be approved for Medicaid and you will be able to go into a nursing home. But for assisted living, it is not an entitlement. It's a waiver program. There's a limited number of slots. People are on a waiting list for many, many months. I've heard of people being on waiting list for up to a year. And then you have to find a nursing home that is, or not a nursing home, but an assisted living that's going to take you. They are underpaid as well, so they're not taking very many residents. There's only a couple here. I know Spring Meadows, Brookdale Spring Meadows takes some, but some of the bigger ones here, the Lodge, Highgate, the Springs, they're strictly private pay. They don't accept any Medicaid at all whatsoever. So where do people go?
Who decides for Medicaid what they're going to pay? Is that
That's the state. So there's federal, so Medicaid is state and federal. So the federal government reimburses about 60%, the state pays 40%. So when we're talking for instance, the study that was done for assisted living determined that they were $87 million underpaid. That doesn't mean that $87 million would come from the state of Montana. That means that 60% of it would come from the federal government, the other 40% from Montana. But there's actually regulations. So, for instance, if you're a single person, you have to spend your assets down to $2,000 before you qualify for Medicaid. Because Medicaid is not there. It's your tax dollars. It's not there to help anyone give their kids an inheritance or anything like that. It's the last resort. So you get to keep $2,000. You get to keep $50 a month for personal, you know, get your hair done, buy clothes, those little extras. But $50 a month is what you get. How many of us can do that for $50 a month? So, and then the remaining amount that you would get in your income each month would go to the facility, and then at the $213 a day rate, which is where we're at now, whatever's left is what Medicaid would cover, but only up to that $213 a day. So you might be making enough in income to pay for the first half of the month, and then Medicaid is paying the other half. Yes?
Do you know how this will be worded on the ballot?
As far as...
Just like voting yes or no?
It's a strictly, yeah, my understanding is it's strictly a yes or no. You're either approving the mill levy, yes for the mill levy, or no, you're against the mill levy. Should be, it's probably one of the simplest things I've, you know, would ever see on a ballot, because I know how confusing some of those can get.
What happened to Mountain View? My husband was at Mountain View for several months before he passed away, 10 years ago.
Yep.
What happened to Mountain View?
They closed too. So Mountain View and Bridger Rehab were owned by a company called Lantus. My understanding is they have about 13 other facilities in Montana, and they're a private company. They also own their own contractor agency. So we actually get some nurses from and CNAs from their company. So that's how they were able to keep theirs going, but that's another reason why they were losing as much money as they were. Mountain View, my understanding, had to close because that building was unsafe. It needed many millions of dollars to rehab it. And that's one of the reasons why they closed, and they combined it with Bridger once they did a remodel. And then Bridger finally closed just because, they were just losing too much money. It just wasn't fiscally sound for them, and they were a for-profit. Yes?
You know, I was listening to one of the county commission's meetings, and they were talking about their inability to get a contracted, I don't know, it wasn't a cook, but it must have been a diet, somebody to run the food program.
Mm-hmm.
Will this levy affect that? Because that sounded pretty critical, that they had a cook who was hanging on by a thread.
So my dietary department right now, my husband has been doing dishes for me since November of last year. He's semi-retired, and he goes in, it used to be 7 o'clock, now it's 6 o'clock in the morning. He goes in Monday through Thursday, and he washes dishes. And gets to visit with the residents and absolutely loves them. But he did that to help us out. I have three full-time staff in dietary. My dietary manager has been working double shifts and at least 6 to 7 days a week for many, many months. So one of the things we did is we put out a request for proposal to see if we could get a national company to come in because they have more power than we do for getting staff. And they can do different things with their pay structure than what we can as a county. County is never meant to be the highest paid, but we're not the lowest paid either. We're just somewhere right there in the middle. And nobody put in a bid. Well, what we found out afterwards, one actually did, but FedEx didn't get it to them during the deadline. In fact, it didn't come until 24 hours later. And the other one didn't think that they would do it for the simple reason that they thought it was going to be too expensive, which we already knew. What we're going to do now, and the other problem, too, is it really ethical of us to put out a request for proposal when we can't tell these companies if they're going to be in business a year from now? We honestly can't tell them that. So now what the process is we're just going to wait. We'll see what happens with the mill levy.
Yes, will this help that is what was my kind of question. Will the mill levy help you with that?
Yes.
Because you'll have more money available. That sounded pretty critical.
Yes, it is. I will say so far, though, still no complaints about food from our residents.
No.
They like the food, and we're getting it done. And that's why I was so excited about one of our previous cooks coming back and deciding that he wanted to come back. So we're excited about that. And that's going to help and maybe give some people a little bit of time off.
And my other question is about child care. I heard that there was an effort to put a facility in the nursing home for child care to help with, for county employees, not for the world, but for county. Did that, and how does that affect you in any way?
And there was a time when I had more of my own CNAs that the child care was a bigger issue. I think it is still an issue for county as a whole. You can't do that in the nursing home because our beds are certified Medicare, Medicaid beds. If we were to do that, we would have to have fewer beds and decertify those beds in order to put something like that in the facility. Yeah. It's just like we
help the staff.
Yeah, it's just like we can't have contract staff living in the empty rooms in the nursing home. Not that they would necessarily want to, but you can't have them come in and live there because there's certain things you just cannot do when it's certified Medicare, Medicaid beds. But the county commissioners are looking at, like I said, developing the property behind us. And a daycare was one of the things that was mentioned.
Because I wonder if that wouldn't help, besides housing, the child
care. Oh, I think child care
and housing are up there.
Yeah, I think everything that the commissioners are doing right now, I think the fact that they've been supporting us, they did revamp their pay scale. We received, and I know all this is public knowledge, we received a 6% raise last year. We received a 5% this year because we were so far behind with everyone else. Are we still with everyone else? No. I will tell you that a starting cook will make $16 an hour in my building, but Wendy's is hiring for $20. But the benefits are awesome, and that's something, too, is do you get the age group that wants those benefits? They want the health care. They want the retirement. They want those benefits need to mean something to them for there to be a value on them. And then with the housing, with the temporary housing and possibly daycare, they're not going to subsidize any of that. It's just the availability. My understanding is that is so hard to find in Bozeman. And, yeah, just the cost in general.
So if, say, the levy passes, so you can do the levy, but the legislator is meeting. Are you going to start doing the levy, or Isaac County? Doing it in January or waiting until...
So I believe the levy can't start until July 1 of the new fiscal year. And anything that the legislature does, I mean, so that would be up in the air. I would imagine, just knowing what politics I do know, that we would probably end up levying the first nine mills that first year. If the legislature can do something to lower those rates, then it would, based on how they do that. I mean, let's be honest, even if they got the rates to where we need them to be, they're not going to do it all at once. So I would be really surprised, even with the surplus that Montana has, that they would come back and say, we're going to pay you $150 more a day, and we're going to do it effective immediately. I don't see that happening. But as they do raise that, then the mills that we need would certainly come down, because the goal would be not to do it at all. That would be the goal, is not to have the mill levy at all. But if we want to keep things going, that's why we're asking voters to consider it. It needs to be your decision. It can't be something the commissioners continue to do, because the amount of money it takes to run the rest home, it's detrimental to the other departments. It comes to a point where, is it really fair to take the extra money out of general funds for the rest home and not support all the other county offices that they need to support?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That concludes the portion of the issue forum concerning the ballot initiative to fund the Gallatin Rest Home. This forum was held at the Bozeman Public Safety Center on October 12, 2022. KGVM does not endorse any candidate or take a particular position on any ballot issue. We strive to disseminate available information to help voters make informed decisions.